Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is Friday, February 14th, 2014. I'm Leanne McAdoo, and here's what's coming up tonight.
Tonight, sadistic cops choke and tase a deaf man for being unresponsive. Then, the U.S. Army's fake city, a training ground for the military occupation of America. And Steve Pachenik reveals the structure for the military takeover already in place. All this and more on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Well, the U.S. Army has built a fake city in Virginia for what they say is to prepare their troops to occupy foreign countries. But what's striking is this 300-acre fake city looks more like your average American town. It costs $96 million to build in just 2 years, and it includes a sports stadium, bank, a school, and an underground subway. They say it's in order to train for unspecified future combat scenarios. But the fact that the subway carriages even carry the same logo as they do in Washington, D.C., this could suggest that the site was built to double both as a foreign city and a mock domestic town. The site also includes what they're calling a mosque, but it looks eerily familiar to a Christian church. So they're saying this is for foreign occupation. Please, come on. They are training for martial law, civil unrest. They have already been preparing for the gun owners and the Christians and anyone with an anti-government attitude to be trained to be seen as an insurrectionist. They're already training the military to see patriots as insurrectionists. The writing is on the wall. It is time to get real, folks. No matter how much the mainstream media and the Obama administration tries to convince you that they're just trying to take the guns because Sandy Hook, y'all, please, the writing is on the wall. It is time for us to wake up. And that's why I would say it's an unprecedented move that Fox News is now carrying InfoWars articles covering the very fact that the DHS is arming themselves. They have up on FoxNews.com Paul Joseph Watson's article about the Homeland Security purchasing those zombie hunter bullets. Now, the mainstream media, they've covered our material before, but they'll typically just take our material and then accredit it to their own writers after they do their own research. But what's really big here is it's Paul Joseph Watson's actual article credited back to InfoWars. It doesn't just have some vague reference to a, quote, conspiracy website. That's because this is a fact. This is an unprecedented purchase of ammunition that makes no sense. Fox News can see the writing on the wall, and this is facts. Anyone can go look that up on the Fed BizOps site, something where they're looking for FEMA trailers. That's all there. It's fact. Just go look it up like we do. Do you really think, though, that a government that's, you know, they have no problem killing innocent children overseas or using chemical weapons to destroy an entire country and the nation's genetic makeup of their children's children, do you really think that they're not going to turn on you or they're going to have some problem offing you and getting rid of you? Absolutely not. You're the zombies. That's why they need the zombie hunter bullets. It's probably funny to them. And I mean, look at every day, you know, with the police, week after week. Do you really think the police are going to have any problem turning against you and me? They're already training every day. They say that a society will be judged by the way that it treats its weakest members. And here we have another case of police brutality against a deaf person. Now, this is the second deaf person that has been attacked by this out-of-control police department for refusing to respond to their demands during a routine call-out. Last time it was a guy that didn't hear the sirens behind his car. Well, in this lawsuit that was filed by John Meester, he says that he attempted to use sign language to explain to the cops that he couldn't hear them when they confronted him outside of his friend's home. He was removing boxes of his own possessions. There was some snitchy, see something, say something neighbor who called police because Meester was acting suspiciously after he failed to respond to the neighbor calling him from across the street. Now, because he is deaf, Mr. Meester depends on using his hands while facing a person to communicate. And the officer's sudden aggression, which both caused him pain and interfered with his ability to communicate, is what caused him to reflexively pull his hands away and hop over a fence and step toward a gate so he could create some space to communicate with these cops. That was when one of the officers shot him twice with a taser. Another officer then deployed a second taser, delivering what's called a drive stun to his abdomen. Then they struck him with fists and feet and forcibly took him to the ground. The cops kicked him, punched him in the back and stomach, and another cop choked him around the neck. The suit also alleges that the cops delivered punishing shocks with the tasers, intentionally burning his flesh. And then, of course, after they beat this man unconscious, they charged him with assault. Because that's what they do. If you try to protect yourself against the vicious beatdown of an out-of-control police department, you're going to be charged with assaulting them, even though they're tasering you and beating you and punching and kicking you. And even if they're caught on video doing it, they're still going to get away with it. Much like this other disabled man who was wheelchair bound, the cop was caught on video viciously attacking him. That cop, he was found not guilty of all charges. So this is just one of a number of untold cases of police beating and tasering physically and mentally disabled people across the nation. But is it any wonder why we have an out-of-control police force? Our military is training for domestic terrorists. It goes all the way up to the top. Look at our nation's leader, Mr. I can do whatever I want. He basically told the French president earlier this week that it's good to be king. Well, you know, that's complete 180 from the 2008 Obama that was running the election circuit. He said that he would reverse the biggest problem of executive abuse of power, promising to avoid Bush's mistake of not going through Congress at all. He went on to say how, I taught constitutional law for 10 years. I take the Constitution very seriously. Please, the only thing he uses his constitutional law knowledge for is how to slither through any little blurred lines in the writing there. Mr. Magic Pen of 2014 has said that he would act with or without Congress to pursue his agenda, taking steps without legislation via executive orders to achieve his goal. And that's exactly what he has continued to do, and he gets a round of applause from the New World Order, who are pulling his strings. But that's why it's time for the media to stop licking this man's boots. He is becoming a dictator right before our eyes. What do you think? Do you think that you're going to be just having tea and crumpets while the rest of us are fighting for our lives under martial law? Do you really think that you're going to be safe? No. It's time for you to make a choice, to take a stand, much like Fox News is apparently doing now, publishing our articles and attributing it to us. So we'll get hits back to Infowars.com so people can go and get some truth news. But it's time to take a stand. Things are getting out of control. But, oh, you know, maybe the mainstream media is just going to say that I'm racist because I'm criticizing Obama. But ironically, they're criticizing the only black U.S. Supreme Court justice, Clarence Thomas, because he doesn't think that people need to be bringing race into everything. He said that he's faced more racism from liberal elites because of his conservative outlook than he did growing up in the 60s in Savannah, Georgia. He said, my sadness is that we are probably today more race and difference conscious than I was in the 60s when I went to school. Thomas said that he was probably the first black kid in Savannah, Georgia to go to a white school, and rarely did the race issue come up. But today, name a day it doesn't come up. Differences in race, differences in sex, somebody doesn't look at you right, somebody says something, everybody is sensitive. Clarence Thomas said, if I had been as sensitive as that in the 1960s, I'd still be in Savannah. Now, following this, Democrat Alvin Holmes responded by insulting Thomas's interracial marriage and then calling him an Uncle Tom. A CNN segment also implied that Thomas himself was being racist for wanting to move on from race even being an issue. Isn't that ironic? Now, Michael Dorstowitz writes, when conservatives disagree with the nation's first black president, they're often labeled as racist. But when liberals disagree with a nation's only black Supreme Court justice, all at once, it's the justice who's the racist. I find it difficult to follow this line of reasoning. And I do as well. But that's just the big problem. Race baiters do not like being called out. And they also don't like it when you try to take away their political playing card. But unfortunately, it's a card they've played one too many times, and the people just aren't buying it anymore. And people like Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas are saying, enough is enough. And so now they're attacking him, calling him a racist. But fortunately, some members of Congress are finally standing up to this Orwellian takeover of our country. First, Rand Paul launched his civil lawsuit against Obama for allowing this unconstitutional spying by the NSA. Now his father, Ron Paul, is demanding clemency for Edward Snowden. On Paul's website, there's a petition that's posted saying, Edward Snowden shocked the world when he exposed the NSA's illegal and abusive spying program. But instead of applauding him for his bravery and patriotism, the U.S. government labels Snowden a traitor. And the page states now, join Ron Paul in demanding that Edward Snowden is granted clemency. Sign the petition. Let's bring Edward home before his amnesty expires on July 31st of this year. So here, this is where we just have to hope that these small deeds, even the small deed of signing on to this petition, signing up to join Rand Paul's lawsuit against Obama for the unconstitutional NSA spying, even just these small deeds, we have to just hope that they can be the big move that helps us turn the tide of tyranny into our favor, because it's definitely getting out of hand. As you can see, they are now building fake cities to train for martial law. It's time to wake up. It is time to get real. Now, coming up later in the show, we're going to have part two of our interview with Steve Pachenik. He's going to give his view on Edward Snowden, as well as break down how the intelligence community is playing the American public. That's a must-see. That's why we did an extra-long extended interview with Pachenik. And then, of course, stick around after that for even more special reports. Thanks, guys, for tuning in tonight. Have a happy Valentine's Day.
The globalist social engineers are not just targeting us with propaganda. They are manipulating our genetics. We are being targeted at every level by estrogen mimickers that lower our testosterone and other hormones and natural compounds that the body needs. After consulting top doctors, nutritionists, pharmacists, and others, we have developed what I believe is the ultimate non-GMO organic super male vitality formula sourced from powerful organic herbs and then concentrated for maximum potency. Super Male Vitality was developed to activate your body's own natural processes instead of using synthetic chemicals. Super Male Vitality by InfoWars Life is so powerful that I only take half the recommended dose. For a limited time, we are offering 15% off Super Male Vitality at InfoWarsLife.com to introduce you to this powerful supplement. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today to secure your Super Male Vitality. InfoWarsLife.com.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. And the InfoWars Army is standing strong. Wake up your family, friends, and neighbors and break the matrix at InfoWarsStore.com. Learn the truth and spread the message of liberty with the world's most comprehensive collection of books and documentary films. Maintain a healthy metabolism and energize your body to perform at peak health with Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Protect your family and be prepared with survival foods and emergency preparedness kits. And now you can drink safe water with your own ProPure water filtration system, which removes fluoride and other harmful chemicals from your family's water supply. Save 10% with the promo code WATER. So join the revolution. InfoWarsStore.com.
Well, tonight we have the conclusion of our interview with Dr. Steve Pachenik, someone who has served at very high levels in the intelligence community over five U.S. administrations. He talks about a wide variety of subjects, from Putin to the Ukraine to the Snowden documents, and the real threat that the military-industrial complex, especially the intelligence community, poses to America. Let's talk a little bit about Ed Snowden and the documents that are there. You think
sure.
he's something other than a straight-up whistleblower. Tell us exactly what you think is going on, who the players are, and what their goals are.
Well, I will tell you very simply. I started to think of Snowden a long time ago, as I was saying. I thought he was, and analyzing him, not as an American, but as a counterintelligence operative or somebody who's had experience in counterintelligence. I thought Snowden was very much what I call the manufactured avatar of the American intelligence community. What do I mean by that? I started looking at tapes of Edward Snowden when he was giving these bombastic interviews, self-aggrandizing interviews to the German press and other presses. But in the recent press, in a recent interview, he very clearly stated to the Germans, yes, I was in the special forces, but I broke my ankle. Now, that was not credible to me, because if you're in the special forces, you don't just break your ankle and you don't leave. But he went on to explain that the special forces was something that was a noble endeavor on his part, and he saw it as a magnifier of military power. In other words, he gave me an explanation that was inconsistent with being a subcontractor. Mm-hmm. Then he went on to really indict himself by saying in the interview, I'm a CIA operative. I was recruited by the CIA and then the NSA. So what I'm getting at very quickly was, Snowden is very typical of what we in the intelligence community would want to do, and that is to create an avatar or a image of a person who may be a traitor or a whistleblower, so that we allow the American public to play off either part of two figures that the intelligence community creates. On the one hand, the intelligence community creates this incredible massive surveillance, where at the same time, they want to make sure that they are not acquitted, that they're not judged harshly, so that they make sure they can control the narrative. So they create somebody like Snowden, or in the case that I was talking about as well, is Ellsberg, who also had a similar history, where he was involved in the Vietnam War, was a CIA operative on the State Department cover for a general who was called the Quiet American, and he then went out and revealed the Pentagon Papers from RAND Corporation. I subsequently went to the RAND Corporation, and there where I find I find Ellsberg, I find him at the MIT Center where I'm trained. And everyone there, except for myself, is trained to go into the CIA. So I realized the CIA was really nurturing and initiated a lot of Ellsberg's Pentagon Papers. At the same time, they kept him safe at MIT. And very similar to the Snowden affair. Now, why would Snowden attack James Clapper and attack General Keith Alexander, the NSA chief? The reason was there's an initial tension throughout the past 30 years between our civilian intelligence, which is only 1/15th of the major intelligence bureaus that we have. We have 16 major intelligence units. 15 of them are in the military, and the 16th one is the CIA, a civilian one. For 30 years, there's always been this inherent tension. However, there is what we call the IC, the intelligence community, which at times gets together and decides, look, we have to have a common interest. The common interest now is that we made a mistake in Iraq. We went into Afghanistan. That's a mistake. We have to have a diversion. And as a diversion, we have people like James Clapper, where we created this office of DNI, Director of National Intelligence, which is absolutely absurd. This was an unnecessary organization that was created out of a false flag and a stand down that we've talked about before with Alex Jones after 9/11. James Clapper is a decent man. He came in. He was from the Air Force. He was military. Keith Alexander created the NSA. But in turn, the entire intelligence community said, look, we're still going to control the narrative of everything that occurred from 9/11 to stand down to Afghanistan to Iraq by creating a good guy who can be seen as a good guy, a whistleblower, or a traitor. And as long as we can create that narrative, we are really in control of the game. And that's where the American people have been had. Now, why would they control a game, and what's the game?
Mm-hmm.
The game is about $60 billion worth of subcontracting from the Pentagon to companies, at least $6 billion, going to Booz Allen. Now, who is Booz Allen? Booz Allen is a consulting firm that I knew in Bethesda that was totally ineffective, controlled by John Michael McConnell, who was former military DCI and vice chairman and was in the nation and the head of the NSA, who was closely tied to another man, John Brennan of the CIA, who controls that now, who was also involved with James Woolsey, who was director of the CIA, and James Clapper, all of whom belonged to Booz Allen. So you have this game going on where Snowden, in an apparently bizarre story, reveals all these millions of secrets, which we don't really know about, but some of it is somewhat revealing to somebody. And it says that we, the United States, have been monitored. So what? We've been monitored since the 50s, and Google and Amazon and all the rest of these private companies have been monitoring us more effectively than NSA. And Snowden goes to Hong Kong, which is not a real safe place, and then ostensibly goes to Russia, where Putin takes care of him. Well, I said to you, Putin has been really an ally. He's taken care of all the people who we don't want to have as leaders of a country, and he takes care of our transit points into Afghanistan. But in the meanwhile, who are the people involved? We have John Brennan of the CIA, which Snowden doesn't say a word about, and he admits readily, I'm a CIA operative, yet he destroys some CIA assets. But in the meantime, really the game goes on. Then he talks about Booz Allen, but he really doesn't go into detail how Booz Allen has taken a $6 billion contract and then enhanced it in conjunction with other intelligence contracts from the Pentagon up to $60 billion. And the American public, that's you and I, are paying for an intelligence that's not worth anything. On the same time, not only is the game played out between Snowden being a spy or a whistleblower, but at the meantime, there's a notion from Keith Alexander and James Clapper in these meetings in front of Congress, which are disingenuous meetings, that we have a clear and present danger. Well, we don't have a clear and present danger. We don't have terrorists who we've picked up and protected us from these massive explosions. This whole terrorist nonsense has been created by Cheney, Bush, Kagan, Newland, a whole group of neocons in order to justify our presence and an expansion into the Middle East, which has failed dramatically. And so what's happened in return is we've created this monstrosity of an intelligence community, which is neither intelligent nor an effective community, but is sucking out the very lifeline of our country. And I say that as an American citizen, not as an intelligence operative who's overseeing these guys. From an intelligence point of view, I've told them repeatedly, I would have fired every one of them. I would have knocked out every one of these 16 agencies because they stovepipe. And now we're going to have a new leader of the NSA, Mike Rogers, an admiral, who really doesn't know anything about this. He's not even the equivalent intellectually or in terms of experience of a Keith Alexander, who was head of MI, Military Intelligence, G2, and is significantly smarter. Whatever mishaps Keith Alexander's done was done in the process of building up massive surveillance, which we didn't necessarily need, but will not be effective. So in the process of all of this going on, we do not have an oversight committee. Dianne Feinstein is an antiquated, God only knows, disaster of a woman, of a legislator. We have Nancy Pelosi. We have Mike Rogers. We have all these nonsensical representatives on the Democrat and Republican side who really are beholden to the intelligence community because their communities have intelligence contracts with Booz Allen or L3.
They're sycophants. Let me ask you this, Dr. Pachinik. Now, we've got the civilian versus the military side of the intelligence community, as you pointed out. You've talked about that kind of internecine fighting going on as being the roots of Benghazi. But are they just incompetent when they put these Snowden documents out because they've really have the public opinion is not really of a mind to give them a blank check right now, even though it seems like they're getting everyone more or less adjusted to the new way of thinking about the government, that they're going to monitor everything that we have. And we've got this discussion going on as to whether there is going to be anything such as privacy. So is this a limited hangout, or is this internecine warfare, or are they trying to build up the intelligence community but just doing it in a ham-fisted, incompetent way that they're really losing public opinion on this?
I think the latter is probably the best way. You've explained it very well. I think it's a ham-fisted, incompetent way. As I said in the blog, and we've just talked about it, the Army has really gone off on its own. It's built its own capacity and capability to invade absolutely nothing and to be able to really get into no combat whatsoever. But irrespective of that, the Army has become a centurion army or an imperial army, which is not beholden to the United States. In the same nature, we have a very heavy-handed intelligence community, which is not effective at all. Our human is not effective. Our ELINT is not effective. Our capacity to do massive surveillance is really not effective. We have not picked up any terrorists. All we do is really to counter-effect what's called industrial espionage. But it's not relevant to our livelihood. Our private companies are far more effective, and they move more quickly than the NSA could or even our whole government could, as most people realize. But what they care about the most, the intelligence and the military community, is their own perpetuation as an entity. They don't give a damn really about what Americans have to say or American civilians. What they care about is that the legislators and the representatives, remember, we're in a republic, not a democracy, mm-hmm. that they allocate the amount of monies that are required to maintain a minimal standing force in the military and a massive presence of intelligence, which is not really effective for intelligence. So you have this added burden. They've literally added a second appendix to a body. You know, literally, you don't need the DNI. That came out after 9/11. Well, 9/11 was a stand down. So when you look at it, we created our own. We don't need an integrated unit that then integrates other integrated units, which never become integrated. It's kind of a Alice in Wonderland phenomenon, and they don't care what the Americans say because they know that the legislators will keep on talking about clear and present dangers.
Yeah, I find it interesting that Glenn Greenwald said that the most sensational things he was holding for his soon-to-be-released book, his movie, and the media empire that he's creating with one of the world's wealthiest billionaires, Pierre Omidyar. What do you think is going to come of that? Is that something that's really going to change public opinion, or is the public just too dumb and too numb to do anything about it?
I don't think the public is dumb. I think the American people have been clearly underestimated. I think they're inured to the whole thing. I said from day one to some of my friends that nobody really cares about Snowden and nobody cares about Greenwald. And just what you said was right on the button. That is, Greenwald, whoever he may be or not be, you know, his interest is the same as the interest of the intelligence community, which is to create money, create notoriety, and perpetuate his own narcissism. No one in the United States or the world really will care very much. As you see, there's a movie about Julian Assange, WikiLeaks. Nobody even sees it. Nobody really cares. And the notion that we're being monitored is kind of passe. Everybody who deals with the Internet, anybody who deals with iPads or iPhones, they know almost automatically that this is a new era. This is an era which is not going to have sensationalism as it's portrayed. And in many ways, the intelligence community, the military community, really didn't understand the American mentality of saying, you know, so what? Or as my daughter would say, whatever. You know, so what? And you know, it's no big thing. The only thing I'm saying that's major about this is that you can't continue this falderal, this nonsense, at the cost of $80 billion a year.
Yes,
we have that need for that money for too many other things.
Yes, the military-industrial complex is bankrupting us. And the concerns I think that everybody has is that it's not only, it's been on foreign wars for the longest time, and now it's turning inwardly, domestically, militarizing the police and doing espionage on American citizens instead of on foreign governments.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Pachinik. We're out of time, but it's been a fascinating...
Well, it's a pleasure, and thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Well, Eisenhower warned us a long time ago about the military-industrial complex. Dr. Pachinik is warning us about the threat that it poses. And, of course, the intelligence community is just the omniscient part of Omnicorp, as RoboCop would put it. What can we do? Can we wake up the American people? Well, you can be a part of that. You can get a subscription to the nightly news and support our operation here, as well as give that out to your friends and family. Up to 10 people can watch it simultaneously. So that's a good way to put the information out, and it's a way to support us. Well, we'll be back on Monday at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Tune in to PrisonPlanet.tv for an extended broadcast.
Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at InfoWars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at InfoWars.com/show.
Guns.com is reporting that an 18-year-old Maryland student has gotten into trouble for leaving an unloaded shotgun in his car. The article says that a person was checking for parking stickers and noticed the gun covered in clothing in the back seat of the young man's car. The student was pulled out of class and arrested in the principal's presence. The student claims that he had gone hunting the night before and forgot that he had the gun in his car but made attempts to cover it up. Unprescribed ADHD medication was also found in the student's vehicle. The report says that authorities found no ill intent on the student's behalf, but he could still be expelled if the school says so. Yes, he was on school grounds with a weapon. You know, they have the zero tolerance, these gun-free zones, many schools are. But he made a reasonable attempt to cover up the gun. You know, people who actually own firearms know that you may occasionally find yourself in a situation where you're not supposed to have your gun and you have it on you anyway. So I feel for the guy. I definitely don't want this to be a scourge. And if you're one of these people who says, you know, this can never happen to me, or, you know, he deserves whatever he gets, take a look at this guy. He is a, well, I guess you can't call him an anti-gun advocate, but he is a gun control advocate. He went into school with a gun on his person. So even people who are for stricter gun laws occasionally find themselves in a situation where they have a gun on them. And if you're one of these people who are absolute hate guns, hate anybody bringing a gun on campus, you say both these guys, whether it's the young student or the older gun control advocate, if you say both these guys deserve whatever they get, remember all the stories we've done recently, and I definitely stress recently, about children being expelled from school, encountering police on different levels because they ate their Pop-Tarts the wrong way, or because they brought in a bubble gun to school, or they made a gun with their fingers, or a bow and arrow with their fingers, or drew a picture of a gun. I think there's definitely something wrong with this gun control agenda. You can find more reports at InfoWars.com.
And what we need to do is change the way in which people think about guns, especially young people. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.